Every year I'm like, what the fuck is March? What the fuck is March? Never know what to make of March. Because, you know, it's winter. Like, I don't, like, when I actually think about it, I don't think of March as spring. But, I mean, it's the in-between month, I guess. It is exactly what it is. It's the month in between winter and spring. The month where it becomes spring. Because, you know, February, just a little month talk, what we call month talk here. But, you know, February, it's like in total acceptance of what it is. That's winter. February is winter. You don't have any expectations of it other than that. And even if you feel like you're kind of over winter, or it's too cold, or it's dragging on, you don't really want February to be anything else either. You don't want February to be anything else other than what it is. I don't think you do, though. You're just kind of like, yeah, you know. It's, you know, when I was in school, when I was a kid, they would have midwinter break. I think it was in the middle of February, maybe early to mid-February. And I remember, like, the few trips that my family would take to warm places. Like, one year we went to Florida. I think a couple times we might have gone to California, Southern California. But, you know, the few times my family ever went somewhere warm tended to be midwinter break. And it's where a lot of people, I mean, you know, you're right in the throes of winter, so of course people tend to take vacations and things that time of year. Which is a funny thing about my family, and almost a point of pride. But nobody in my family has ever gone on beach vacations or gone somewhere for the sort of tropical experience. Like, we went to Florida one year because to visit a relative who lived there. And even then, though, we didn't just hang out on the beach. It was in a little island called Sanibel. It's just like a sliver off the coast of Fort Myers on the Tampa side of Florida. I was like 7. And what's funny is I still vividly remember a lot about that trip. One, the alligators. You know, you go to a grocery store, and behind the grocery store, they just have a little swamp, and there'd be alligators there. You just see alligators. And it was so strange to me as a kid, somebody who'd only seen alligators in the zoo. It was just strange to me to think that, like, oh, you're just exposed to alligators, what they call exposed to alligators. There's literally nothing separating that alligator. And we got close to these baby alligators. Behind the grocery store, there was just a baby alligator, like, standing on the ground near the swamp, and we got kind of close to them. But I remember seeing them in the pond, like, full-grown ones, and it was just so strange to me. I'm like, we're just right by alligators. They're not penned in. There's no fence. There's no anything. But anyway, my family went there, but it wasn't, like, a beach vacation. Like, we might have gone to the beach a couple times, but, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to go swimming or wear our swimsuits and hang out on the beach. And we just weren't into that. You know, we'd go play, like, all of our vacations were to, like, places that were interesting, which I appreciate. That's what my mom was into. Let's go somewhere because we're interested in it. Let's go somewhere interesting. And there's a big group of families in my town. People I knew, you know, some of my friends, some of their families, a whole network of families who would all go to Hawaii together. Or they'd all just happen to go to Hawaii at the same time. And I knew a lot of families, too, who just, even on their own, they'd go places like Mexico. They'd go to Hawaii. And what they'd do is, like, every single day, they would just hang out on the beach. Parents would have drinks at these, you know, tourist bars, and they'd just hang out on the beach during the day. And I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. But it was funny because, like, my mom kind of, it was a point of pride to her that we didn't do that. Like, she didn't look down on them for doing that. But she would make a comment on occasion, like, yeah, you know, I'm glad we're not like one of those families who just goes to Hawaii with all the other families. We would go on these very self-contained family vacations to places. Usually just my mom, sister, and maybe one of my sister's boyfriends or whatever, and I. But anyway, I guess what got me going on it is month talk, little month talk. So, you know, February, it's like, yeah, you're kind of ready for the cold to end and things like that, but you're also just like, this is February. I wouldn't want February to be anything else. But then March hits, and like, mentally, you're already kind of thinking, oh, it's spring. Like, every year I do two things when March hits. One is, like, I look up to see, like, when does winter officially end? And, of course, you know, it's late March. But every year I have to remind myself, I'm like, is this still winter? Like, I know we haven't had the, you know, the spring equinox or whatever. But is this officially considered winter? I have to ask myself that. And then I always just think about how I never remember March. It's always this forgettable month to me where I'm just like, what happens in March? Like, I can look back at past years and remember what was going on in my life, but not specific events, and nothing that I would associate with that month in particular or that time of year. It's just, I consider it the waiting month. March is the waiting month. And it's not just the waiting month because I'm ready for warmer weather. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for flowers. It's not just that. I'm just kind of waiting. Just going to kind of wait this out. And it's also unpredictable. Because you can have Marches that are really, you know, some of the nicest months of the year. You know, it never gets that warm. But if it warms up a bit, you're like, this is the best. You know, I mean, I think the best, the time of year where I feel the best is probably right when summer starts to become fall. Like, I'm a winter guy. I was born in winter. I love winter. I embody winter. You know, winter is me. But in terms of just when I feel physically and mentally the best, it's the very end of summer. And we don't always get a perfect transition. Like, sometimes it'll be really hot all the way up to, you know, fall, when it's officially fall. Sometimes fall will hit a little too early and it starts to get a chill. But there's this perfect weather that we get in Washington where, like, the summer is just starting to cool down. But there's still a little bit of that heat at night. And I think that's what it is. It's the nighttime. You know, sometimes in early September, you know, you'll be out for a walk or out doing something, and it stays light late, and it's not hot. But when the sun starts to set and night falls, like, the earth still retains a little bit of that summer heat, just enough. And whenever I feel that, to me, it is just the absolute best feeling. I'm just like, this is godly. I call it pre-fall. Pre-fall nights are godly. But March can kind of get on that. You know, a March that's sort of like showing signs of spring already, like, that to me is similar. It's not quite as good, but it's a similarly perfect time of year, and it's economical. You know, I always look forward to that window of time. The practical part of me always looks forward to that window of time when it's starting to get warm enough that your heater isn't running all the time at home, but then it's you know, still the weather's still mild enough where nothing gets too hot. Like, I have air conditioning, you know, I inherited my mom's house and she has air conditioning, which is really awesome. It's really cool to have that in your house. But, you know, that period between, like, you know, definitely between like April and mid to late May, where you're just happy for any heat at all, and it never gets too hot. Like, and you don't need to really use your heater much at home, but then it doesn't get hot inside either. That to me is wonderful too. And sometimes you get a taste of that in March, but it's the waiting month. I think you're just waiting to see what happens. You know, I said it's not so much that you're waiting for spring in particular. Because I'm not a huge spring guy. It's great. Like, I love every time of year. Don't get me wrong. There's not, like, one time of year and I just don't like it. I like every time of year for exactly what it is. Winter is me. My favorite feeling is that pre-fall night. And so, you know, spring, it's not at the top of my list. Because, like, when I think about it, I'm like, you know, flowers are wonderful, but they're not my thing. You know, I'm into evergreen trees. I'm into forests that look relatively the same most of the year. You know, a lot of the forests around here, they look the same year round. Maybe some of the brush will die back in the winter or something, but for the most part, they look relatively the same, and there's not a ton of flowers in these forests. They're just very green. But, you know, so I'm not a huge flower guy. Like, it's great to see things blooming. It's great to see all the colors. But it also just makes me think of allergies. It makes me feel stuffy. Something about spring makes me feel just stuffy. It's not just the allergies. It's just kind of the blooming, the great blooming of everything. As wonderful as it is, it gives me this kind of feeling of stuffiness. Like the sparseness that, you know, winter is, dissipates, and then, you know, I don't know. It's like a giant cotton ball. What do you think of spring? It's like a giant cotton ball. So March, it's not so much waiting for spring as much as it is just waiting to see what happens. What's going to happen? What's this month going to be like? In this part of the country, you know, we don't get a lot of snow, but some years it's like they just, you know, it decides to snow in March. I mean, it was snowing like a week ago. It didn't stick. It was rainy snow. But, you know, that's the thing about March. It's like, is it going to snow tomorrow? Or am I going to get like the first feeling of true sun warmth that I've had in 4 months? And people are just kind of not great. You know, they're sick of winter. They're also waiting to see what happens. They're in kind of a cloud. So it's not just that you're waiting to see what happens with the weather or something. It's like, I feel like you're also just kind of waiting to see what other people do too. And, you know, it's well past the holidays. Because, you know, February, you're still kind of huffing a little bit of the holidays. They're behind you, but it still feels like they were just a month and a half ago. You're still feeling the holidays. You're still kind of coming down from the holidays in some way. Even if you don't go up that high during the holidays, even if you're like me, you don't go up too high during the holidays, but you still feel like you're coming down from it in February. But by March, it's holidays are long forgotten. March is also when you, you know, officially start writing the year correctly. You know, because obviously I have to write the year down every day. Like at work, I do tons of paperwork that I have to date. And so, of course, like everybody, I'm still writing 2023. That good old joke. Good old joke. It's a, you know, that's like that harmless small talk. I say it, other people say it. Oh, I almost wrote 2023. But by March, it's just ingrained in you. Like, I don't think I was still ever writing 2023 in February, but it still didn't feel like 2024 yet. So, like, March is when you're like, oh, I'm in 2024. It's not just something you have to remind yourself of. January and to some degree February, it's like you're still reminding yourself, oh, this is a new year. This is a new year. But you still feel like you're getting the backwash of the previous year. But March is when you're like, oh, it is a new year. I don't even have to remind myself it's a new year. I just feel like it's a new year now. So that's what goes on in March. And you're just kind of, you're not even sure what to expect of people. And in this part of the country, it's like, any, you know, a lot of people are seasonally affective. know, this can be a very dark, suffocating place to spend the winter. You know, it's very cloudy, very rainy. You know, you can't go out much. It can get pretty cold. And so, you know, people are, you know, they're seasonally affective. And by March, it's just they've been doing this for months now. For months now, you've been affected by the season. And there's been no hope, no light. And so any kind of like negativity or bottled energy has no real outlet. But I'm looking forward to spring. I really am this year. I'm really ready for something. Because it was like last October. Last October is when like they announced they were closing the store that I run. I was running two stores in one building, but they announced they were closing both the stores. It was just hectic for 2 months straight. Just Black Friday crowds, some of the worst customers you'll ever imagine. Constant changes, unknowns. They were planning on having me work at another store about a half hour away on a good traffic day. It's about a half hour away. But then they renegotiated the lease and they decided to reopen this store as just one store, just a furniture store. And so I've been doing that since the end of December. But it's like during that time, it's like I wrecked my car, totaled my car. You know, just I've just been enduring the winter, I've had other stresses. I've had, my life is far less stressful now that I'm running just the furniture store. There's still, you know, a constant, it's a lot of hard work. I never stop working hard, and, you know, it's also been just a lot of pressure. Like, hey, new store. Still running, you know, a store in the same location, but we reopened we opened a new chapter with this store, and so it's just a lot to get that running. I mean, it's weird to me. It's something I never imagined I'd do, is be involved in getting a new store running, everything that goes into that. You know, it's one thing to, you know, I'm new to retail as of a year ago, a little over a year ago, and I have no experience just like guiding an existing ship. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to work at not just a corporate store. You know, it'd be one thing to like manage a Target or something, or manage like a big furniture chain. But even just an established small store, even like a locally owned small store that's just been doing it for a while and like really has its system established. You know, I don't even know what that's like. This is just, you know, like a year ago it was running a brand new store, and then as of a couple months ago when we reopened, I'm more or less running a brand new store. And it's weird to me because when I go there, I feel like immersed in the experience. You know, I feel wholly one with it. And I'm very detached from like who I am outside of work. I've always been that way. But it's strange to me because like sometimes I'll like catch myself and be like, you know what, it's really weird that I run this place and just random people show up. They see it, they're driving by, they see it, they somehow heard about it, and they just show up. And I interact with them. As someone who's never, not just had I never managed a retail store, I'd never worked in retail, period. And most of my jobs didn't really have a significant customer service aspect. You know, aside from this, I've never worked with customers. If I had, it was just very, very selectively. So I meet all these people every day in this situation where, like, these people are potentially going to spend thousands of dollars with us, which I can't imagine dropping. Like, I've always inherited furniture, or been given furniture. So I have no idea what the experience is like of being like, man, I need a new couch. I'm going to go spend hundreds of dollars or more. You know, we have people who will spend $5,000 sometimes. You know, easily between $1,200 and $2,500. But even the small stuff, like we'll sell coffee tables and it's, you know, $250 to $400 bucks for a coffee table. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, as I said, as someone who's always inherited that stuff or gotten it for free, it's bizarre to me, the idea of like, I'm going to go out and like, I need furniture, so I'm going to spend hundreds to thousands of dollars. It's what you have to do if you want new furniture. But these people are in the store like to potentially spend thousands of dollars. And next to like buying a house or buying a car, it's one of the bigger things you invest in. And you spend all your time on it. You spend all your time with it. And we're not a fancy furniture store at all. You know, we're a discount furniture store. But it's, discount or not, it's still potentially thousands of dollars. You know, like a lot of the couches are, you know, between like $550 for a low end one and easily $1,000 for a decent one. And someone's going to spend all their time on that. Like, they're going to just mold to that thing. And so like, we want to sell it to them. And if they're kind of reluctant, you know, we want to incentivize them to buy it. And I'm dealing with these people, you know, and most of them are really easy to deal with. But it's weird to me just the volume of people I deal with. I've never had that experience where I'm just all day, every day, I deal with people. I like it. You know, I actually do. It makes things interesting. I don't feel any of that. I mean, granted, there are days where I'm like, I just don't want to really socialize with customers. I don't really want to, I don't have the energy to talk to people. But I don't have any of that reservation or anxiety. You know, I mentioned this about phone calls. So even though I grew up with phones and I love talking on the phone, I always, you know, even in the age of text messaging, I talk to people on the phone a lot. I like doing it. I like just setting the time aside to talk on the phone. And it's only a selective two or three people at most, but I enjoy talking on the phone. But I did go through a period, you know, in my, you know, late teens, 20s, where I did have some level of anxiety about the phone. Like, even just calling about a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, something simple. You're going to call and make an appointment. I would kind of have to build myself up to make the phone call, which is weird. I've had jobs where I had to cold call and stuff, and I remember just hating it. I think I mentioned that when I brought this up before. I was saying how I had a job where I had to like cold call hundreds of places. It was just a temporary part of the job. But there was a week or two where I had to spend most of the day cold calling, and I actually faked being sick. I called out of work for 2 days because I was like, I just can't do it. I can't go in and just make cold calls. But I wouldn't feel that way now. Now I don't give a shit. I feel no reservation or anxiety when making a phone call. I enjoy it. Like, I don't have to build myself up to it. I enjoy making phone calls. And if I had been doing this job at any other point earlier in my life, I wouldn't have been able to do it, or I would have really struggled. Because I never had social anxiety, but I would just have this reservation where it's like the idea of going up to a stranger and trying to sell them furniture or talk to them was just, how do you do that? But I just don't give enough of a shit anymore. I'm just, whatever. And I enjoy it. But, what was I going to say about that? I don't know. I don't know how I got going on work. It's I've been in this kind of, I wouldn't even say it's been dark, but just that sort of suffocating feeling where it was just like, just brutally hard work starting in October after spending most of the year busting my ass. But that closeout, when we were closing the stores, it was just chaotic. It was just the hardest I've ever worked in my life, working 6 days a week. And then it was like getting in the car accident, totaling my car, all the other little bumps along the way. You know, there's always a bump. And I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, it's been a long winter. Because winter for me really started in October. Winter this year started in October. So, you know, going on over 5 months. I didn't really get a fall, I felt like. I don't feel like I got a fall this year. And I'm not complaining. I'm not saying I've been robbed of a fall, but I don't feel like I got a fall. It's just been a long winter. One thing, though, that I am enjoying and looking forward to is that it's election season. You know, everybody's always like, oh my God, this year's gonna suck. Oh my God, this year's gonna suck. The election. And I'm like, this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun. You know, someone said to me the other day, it was like, oh man, I can't believe we're stuck with Trumpsfeld and Obama bin Biden again. Like, could you get two more stupid candidates? And like, I get it. But I tried to make my favorite joke, which is like, I like them both. And I don't even know how much of a joke it is. They both make me laugh. And honestly, that's all that matters. The only thing that matters to me about politics is who gets a genuine belly laugh from me? Who makes me just crack up? Makes me feel joy? Who makes me start feeling joyous mirth? Both of them. Like, Trumpsfeld, of course, cracks me up, but sometimes I'll just like throw on a Biden speech and I'm just cackling. Like, it takes a lot to get me to cackle. There was a night about a month ago where I did exactly that, where I just was like, I haven't seen him talk in a while. I don't follow his speeches or his announcements or anything. I'll get online and I see people reacting, like, oh my God. But I don't really see him talk much. But I threw on some Biden speech and I was just cackling. Just genuine laughter. And I was like, this is fun. I feel the same way with Trumpsfeld. I just laugh. So since that's the only thing I care about now, I only care about who makes me laugh. Who makes me feel joy. Yeah, if you got into the actual politics of it all, I have an opinion. But all, you know, as long as I'm laughing, that's good. And my joke is just, I like them both. Because it's to everyone, that's the worst of both worlds. Like, people who are diehard Republicans or Trumpsfeld fans, they're going to get mad if you say, I like Biden too. Because that doesn't make sense to them. You know, let's go Brandon, which is a very... The let's go Brandon, that's a good example, though, of, like, totally organic. You know, even though they got beaten to death, like, let's go Brandon... got beaten to death, like how that came about and that it took off is really funny. You know, the fact that, I mean, if you're not familiar, the origin of that was I think people were at a, I don't know, some kind of race, like some kind of car race, and there was a driver named Brandon. And the crowd, like being a right-wing crowd, it was like NASCAR or something, they started chanting, you know, fuck you, Biden. They were just chanting in the entire stadium, like, fuck you, Biden, something to that effect. And how there was a newscaster covering it. She was on camera covering it, and you could hear the chant in the background. She tried to cover it up by going, and they're saying, let's go, Brandon. And then so let's go, Brandon became... you know, this coded way of saying fuck you, Biden.
And then it just took off, which is really funny. But then, you know, just people ran too far with it. It becomes annoying. Like, when you start seeing bumper stickers that say that, it's just like, come on. But just calling him Brandon is really funny, and I need to do that more. It's just that by doing that, I sound a certain way. I sound like, I don't know, I sound like one of the Let's Go Brandon people. But I have a friend named Brandon, and it cracks me up that Biden became Brandon, especially because Brandon is such a young guy name. Which is weird, because, like, that must be an older name. Like, they didn't invent the name Brandon in the 80s when they started naming kids Brandon more. But you don't meet old Brandons. I've never heard a single person in my entire life go, Grandpa Brandon. Oh, that's my grandpa. His name is Brandon. There's just certain names, like, generationally, you just do not see that. But that name must have existed. That's not some new name they created recently. So the fact that they call Biden Brandon and he's an old man is funny to me. Brandon. And it just, it always makes me think of my friend. But anyway, like, you know, you say Biden and Trump, I like them both. It's nice because I like things that piss off everybody. I try not to be that person. I try not to be that person who does things just to piss off everybody. I think I end up being that person sometimes, but it's not that I want to be that person or I try to be that person, but I think that's a good one. As far as things that piss off everybody, liking them both. Because, of course, like, you know, anybody who likes either one of those guys is going to raise their eyebrow, if not shake their fist at you, for saying that you also like the other guy. They're completely incompatible to people. Because you have those people too. Like, I have lib friends who like voted for Brandon, but also hate him because of his stance on Gaza, because he's too much of a Democrat for them or whatever. Like, you know, the sort of like socialist-y people, like, they tend to hate him. They tend to complain a lot about him. Like, oh, fuck this guy, dude. Like, the other night in his speech, he used the term illegal to refer to an illegal immigrant. And the libs, you know, like the far out libs hate that. It's like, no human's illegal. No human's illegal. You know, so he really upset people by saying that. So yeah, like, libs, you know, a lot of them will defend him, but then there's that element of libs too who, like, voted for him and will vote for him again, but they also complain about him nonstop just to maintain their lib cred. That's what that is. That's how I always read that. They're like, oh, dude, fuck this guy. I voted for this guy and I'm going to vote for him again, but fuck this guy, dude. He's supporting Israel. He hasn't condemned Israel for what they're doing in Gaza. You know, there's those people, and, like, yeah, some of them have principles, but a lot of it I'm just like, oh, this is a lib who knows it's uncool to like Biden, so to maintain their credibility they have to hate him while also voting for him and pretty much believing everything he believes. So you're going to piss those people off, because on one hand, like, they talk shit on Brandon, but anybody who ever says they like Trump is just, it's not allowed. If you even laugh at something Trump says, they're upset. So saying you like them both, best of both worlds. And to everybody else, worst of both worlds. Because, you know, maybe a few years ago there were those people who were like, I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for. I'm kind of on the fence. But by 2024, it's like there's no fence. If you haven't noticed, there's no fence. No fence. It's like the alligators when I was a kid. No fence. No offense. So there's nobody out there today in 2024 who genuinely likes them both. They either hate them both or they like one or the other. Nobody's like, I can't decide. I'm ambivalent. I'm torn. Oh, who are you going to vote for this year, Eric? I'm torn. Oh, you're torn between this guy and the Green Party? No, I'm torn between Biden and Trump. No, I'm not torn at all. If I were to vote, I know who I'd vote for. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the escalation. I don't want things to get horrible. Like I don't want violence in the streets. But I wouldn't mind things getting crazy. I wouldn't mind things getting crazy. I'm entertained by it. Let's see what happens. You know, describing March that way, the month of March is a month where you just kind of say to yourself, I'm just waiting to see what happens. That's kind of what election years are like too, at least in recent years. You know, I don't remember it being this all-consuming in the year 2000 or 2004, even 2008, 2012. You know, those are the elections that I remember the most. I can remember Clinton's election, but I was a kid. It meant nothing. But, you know, since I've been a teenager, the only elections have been year 2000 through 2012. And I don't remember them being all-consuming. Even when people were all fired up about Bush, it wasn't that all-consuming. But since 2016, they've been all-consuming. These all-consuming elections. with this one, yeah, I wouldn't mind if things go off the rails a little bit. If this stuff's going to be in the air, if this is going to pollute the air already, which it already is, might as well let it go off the rails. Might as well let it get crazy. So I'm not one of these people who's like, oh my God, we're living in an election year. Oh, it's going to be such a bad election. Oh, what's going to happen? You know, I don't feel that way at all. I'm just kind of excited. Might as well enjoy it. But it very much is a year where everyone's just sort of waiting to happen. Like, oh, when are things going to go crazy? Are things going to go crazy before the election? Are things going to go crazy after the election? When are things going to go crazy? But yeah, March is a month of waiting. Just waiting. Waiting to see if winter's actually over. Waiting to see if things just feel differently. Because there is a day. Usually there is a specific day of the year, every season, when you're like, oh yeah, things do, they feel different today. The air feels different today. You know, obviously it happens gradually, but then there'll just be this one day where you're like, it feels different today. And then it starts to feel the same again. Not the same as it was before, but that feeling of difference starts to kind of be like, oh, this is the new same. That moment I had a week ago, the moment I had a month ago, where the air felt different, where life felt different, that's now become the new same. And that's how everything works. Whenever something revolutionary happens, oh, this is the new same. This is the new same. So I'm curious what day that's going to be. In March, you never know. Sometimes the new same doesn't hit until April. But by April, you at least, mentally, you've shifted. But the new same. There's going to be a day sometime soon that feels different, but that day is going to become the new same. Will it happen in March? Will it happen in April? I don't know. But until then, I don't know. I'm waiting for that feeling of relief. I haven't had a feeling of, you know, my life is good. I love life. I really genuinely love life. But lately, not much relief. And, you know, you can't expect relief. And there's you anticipate relief in different circumstances. Like sometimes when shit's just really crazy. Like last year, just running the two stores, closing them. I remember just praying for relief. Not begging, but just kind of saying a little prayer. Just I could use some relief soon. And that was because it was just a massive burden. That was just, you know, a massive burden at breakneck speed. The relief I'm looking for now is much more mild. Because nothing feels that bad right now. Knock on wood. But nothing feels that bad right now. So it's not relief from something terrible. It's more just a relief from the same. I want to be relieved of this same, and I want to welcome the new same. Will March give me that opportunity? I don't know. But I'm looking for the old same to disappear for a little bit so that I can be ready for the new same.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. So take my